Well, I realize that Palm Sunday is next Sunday. We haven't got this wrong. But in John's Gospel this morning, Jesus has already entered Jerusalem for the final time. And here some Gentiles, we are told, come to the disciples and they want to see Jesus. They say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Isn't that what we've come here today to see? "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Jesus responds, "Come. Come and follow me. Come, and you will see the glory of God." Throughout John's Gospel, we've heard over and over, "It's not time. It's not time. It's not time." Well, here, it seemed to be when the Greeks came and they wanted to see Jesus, signaled to him that now is the time. Now is the time that he would draw all people to himself. Not just the Hebrews, but the whole world. He said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." We hear this word "glorified" several times. And it's, you know, we hear glory, glorify, glorified. The word "glorify" literally means to reflect or to show forth or to make something recognizable. We all reflect something. We all show forth something. I think the question is, what are we reflecting? Jesus came into the world to reflect God, to show forth His presence, His glory, His essence, who He was, His character, His nature. He came so that the world might know who this God was. They could see glimpses of Him in creation, but they wanted to know Him personally. And through Christ, Christ came so that all people would be restored to relationship with God. You know, John's Gospel always points back to the prologue of John, the beginning of John, that very first chapter, where we understand who Jesus was and where He came from. That He was the Word of God. He was the glory of God. He was the light and the life of God who entered into this world. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not overcome it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. God is glory, and His glory is shining forth in the world, separating light from dark, good from evil, calling His creation out of darkness and back into His glorious light. Yes, Lord, we want to see You. Yes, we want to see Jesus. But in order to do that, we have to follow Him where He leads. And we know where He is going. He's going to the cross. There's nothing easy about Good Friday. It's a difficult time, but it's the only way to Easter. It's the only way to the resurrected life. It's the only way to the glory of God is through the cross. We've grown so accustomed to darkness. We've befriended it in so many ways. We know it well, and it's so hard to let go of. Because it means letting go of ourselves. And that's never easy. Letting go of what we know and trusting God with everything. It's risky. It wasn't easy for Jesus either. We hear Him say very clearly, "My soul is troubled." The Gethsemane story is not in John's Gospel, but this is Jesus' struggle. We see it. "My soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour?" No. "It is for this hour that I have come. Glorify your name." This was the real point of decision for Jesus. To choose between His will and the will of the Father. Between saving Himself from the place for which God had called Him, to glorifying God, the very reason He was here. Between living into His purpose or not. And you know the word that sticks out for me is that word, "me." Save me from this hour. You can hear it. It's all, you know, we live in a me world. We think about me. We think about the consequences of me. All kinds of emotions around me. Save me from this hour. But no, He said, glorify God. You know, the paradox here is that salvation comes from God. It doesn't come from ourselves. It's not something that we can do for ourselves. If we want the life and the salvation of God, we have to let go of that illusion of being able to do it ourselves and walk through that place of unknown. Everything we need, everything we want comes from God. It's not anything that we can provide for ourselves. And that's the Christian journey that we're on. Getting out of ourselves. So often ourselves, the ego, the focus, the self-absorption, is what keeps us from enjoying the fullness that God has. We have to get out of ourselves and get into God. And Paul says it in our baptismal theology so well, learning daily to die to ourselves so that we might daily be risen into His life, into His glory, that His light may shine brightly within us. You know, dying to our sin, dying to ourselves, it looks a lot like death, but it's really life. It looks a lot like tragedy, but it's really triumph. And that's the journey that Christ is on. That's the journey that He calls us to. And Jesus uses a very simple agrarian example that we all understand well. The example of a single seed, right? A seed, a beautiful seed that is latent with potential and possibility, created by God for a purpose. But if it does not fall to the ground and die, it remains just a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. If it dies, it glorifies God. It gives back. The point of the illustration, I think, is to help us all see that God has a much bigger plan for our lives than we can generate for ourselves. God's plan is so much bigger. We're trying to create a plan, an idea, a program, a journey. God wants so much more for us. And we've got to let go of our small idea and understanding of that and embrace God's bigger plan for us. And it means letting go. Letting go of that small vision for God's big vision. We're not here to remain just a single seed, but to bear fruit, to multiply like the loaves and the fishes. God multiplies our lives and blesses the world, glorifies God. But let's not be, unaware that it's challenging. It's difficult. Why? Because any time that we take a step out, we presume to speak for God, we presume to represent God, we presume to glorify God in our lives, Satan is very near to us. He is right there, just like he was with Jesus in the desert, and even right here in this passage when Jesus' heart is troubled. Satan is tempting those of us who presume to step out for God. If we don't step out, there's nothing to worry about. But as soon as we presume to stand in this place or out there for Him, we can expect, to be challenged and tempted. We can hear Him whispering, "Did God really say, don't eat the fruit of that tree? Did God really say that you have to go through this? There's a shortcut. There's an easier way. I will give you the whole world." Well, we have to call that what it is. It may look like life, but it's really death. It may look like a triumph, but it's really a tragedy. Stepping out to glorify God is what we're created to do, what we're called to do. We're faced with many moments of decision, right? I mean, you think about moments of decision. They come to us all the time, in big ways and small ways. And we have to keep Christ at the center of our lives so that we can continually choose Him. We don't always make the right choice. I mean, we don't. I don't. It's hard. Sometimes I choose myself. Sometimes I choose my darkness. I choose my dysfunction. I choose the prison that I sometimes choose for myself. Yet God is trying to draw me out, draw me closer to Him. And when I choose Him, I find that I'm moving from glory to glory, and I'm shining forth His light into the world. You know, the good news is that we don't have to do this on our own. That, with God's help, He is with us. He has written His Word in our hearts and placed it on our minds. He has given us the ability to know Him and to claim Him and to choose Him, so that we might shine our light, His light, into the world. That's our purpose. And that's what He's called us out of darkness into His glorious light, so that we might shine His light before others, that the whole world may see His good works through us and give glory to His Father who is in heaven. Amen. Amen.